Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Jason McGovern, and the returning Lee McQueen.
I'm back, baby.
You are back.
About time.
How dare you? How very dare you? You should be ashamed because word on the street, and this is the last word on the Spurs, that Lee got bumped last week. And Lee, had I have known, I won't have stood for it, mate.
Do you know what I mean?
And you're an integral part of this side.
Thank you very much indeed, Chaz. Thank you very much, and good evening, listeners. And I'm very, very happy to be back, and also to be back on the basis that there's cameras now in the Love Sports studio, and I am loving a bit of that.
Well, this is it, because you can join in with the show tonight. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio, call us on 0208 7020 558, or if you really want to see these faces for radio, watch us on the YouTube stream.
They're
get in touch
off
there. Yeah. We will endeavour to answer all of your questions, but coming up tonight, of course, there was no game. At the minute, that's a good thing. No negativity. We don't have to concentrate on that. We're going to be talking about the manager's comments today, the supporters trust meeting that took place, a little bit about the NFL games that have gone on at Spurs, and obviously we will turn our attentions to the game on the weekend because the Premier League is back and it starts with that game against Watford, who aren't doing too well themselves at the moment. Let's start though very quickly with those manager comments today. He said Spurs don't need anyone in January. Lee, you are returning. What did you make of the press conference today?
I love Poch, right? I need to put it on the record. We all love him, and I love him. And I think, but his press conferences are weird, I have to say. Last week, he was basically saying, we're going to sort all this mess out in January. And this week, he's saying, actually, we don't need anyone in January. It's like, you know, a couple of weeks break, maybe, that he's gone away. And I know he was over in Qatar, wasn't he? Done a speech over in Qatar in the international break, which is a very good, by all accounts, a coaching masterclass. So maybe the break's done him good. Maybe he's got, refreshed his way of thinking and thought to himself, actually, my plan now is to keep the players that I've got together with me and get them on board and get them moving. But Let me tell, like, I'm not Poch, like I tweeted in the week. We all know that I'm definitely not Poch, but there's definitely some sorting out to be done in January, fella. Don't you worry about that.
He's better looking than you, anyway.
Well, he is, actually.
He dances better.
He does, actually. Actually, we'll put it out there on a Twitter feed or something like that.
On a YouTube poll. Watch the stream now, you can decide for yourselves. But the manager said he doesn't need anyone in January, or Tottenham aren't going to sign anyone. Ricky, we just heard from David Prutton on Drive on Love Sport. He said he doesn't believe the manager, he's just saying this now. It's managers speak, we often hear it through the media. Well, you're the fan, do you believe him, or is this true?
I think it's possibly a vain attempt to try and keep the dressing room on his side. I think anyone that looks at that team knows there's a need to refresh the squad, him included. He said it 2 weeks ago after the Brighton game, which makes it even more bemusing why we come out and say it. But again, is he just trying to, like Lisa, keep the squad together and try and be united? But I hate to say it, he comes across a bit like a walking contradiction at the moment. Mm. It's very hard to say otherwise. I love Maurizio Pochettino. Look, again, I say the same thing I said last week. I still want to be at the football club as long as he wants to be there. And if he truly believes in himself, he has got the courage, desire to really try and push the club on. But very strange comments, I've got to be honest.
Very strange comments. Jace, I want to bring you in because we speak about the manager's comments, and you're sometimes someone that says, I don't like to hear what the manager's saying. You know, we have these meetings. I don't want to hear about that. I just want to see the performances on the pitch, the results on the pitch. What did you make of today's press conference?
Well, I thought it was a strange thing to say because, as Rick said, it was 2 weeks ago he was telling everyone that we'll get to January and fix the problems. Mm. And now he doesn't want... It's not just that he's not anyone in. He's refusing to say anyone's going out. I just thought... It's just a chance for him to say, look, we'll do everything we possibly can in January to improve the squad. That's not him promising any ins, it's not him promising any outs. It's just, we'll try and do what we can. And that's it, he's not promising anything. Just get out on that pitch and start showing it there.
What has changed then in these 2 weeks? Because it is such a stark contrast. What do we know of anything that could have changed possibly, Lee, in these 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think like I said, like it's the time for reflection, isn't it? It's a time to gather your thoughts together. It's a time to actually review what's been going on. Not only, I think Jason brought this up a couple of weeks back and certainly on the pod, but not just this season, but what's gone on before. I mean, I heard a staggering stat that we've actually lost. The Brighton game was the 22nd match we'd lost in 40 games since the start of 2019. So these problems have gone far beyond. Maybe, listening to the pod in the week, maybe the Champions League run masked what was happening. I think Martin Cloak from the Trust said that on the pod this week. So I think maybe it's a bit of a reflection. I think, actually, I don't like the international breaks typically coming as early as they do. But I think this one came at a perfect time for Tottenham because at the end of the day, we needed to take a step back and take a deep breath almost. And instead of letting if anyone makes reference or has read the chink paradox, you know what I'm saying. Instead of making the having that reflex of what the chimp is, get the human to have a reflection and a reaction, and that's, I think, what he's
that's
done.
What this show has missed. It's about metaphors, analogies like that. Well, not only that, Lee, your return to The Last Word on Spurs and the Spurs Fan Show has resulted in a caller straight off the bat. We're joined by Adam, calling all the way from the States. Lee, he wants to talk to you specifically and ask you about Ericsson.
Adam, he might have tweeted me. I think Adam tweeted me.
Adam, are you there? You want to talk a little bit about Ericsson?
Yeah. Hi, guys. I just wanted to say welcome back, Lee.
Cheers, Adam. How you getting on, buddy?
Good. Anyone's free to talk about this, but I wanted to direct it to you because occasionally you do bring in what you do for a living, so I thought that might give you an interesting perspective.
I love you
so
already.
I was looking back at the, Ericsson's form preseason. We've talked a lot about it, but I don't think anybody's ever pointed this part of it out. We talked about, and you guys have talked about a lot, that he was a player that had a career path that was pretty well defined, maybe to himself. Mm. And part of his plan, a lot of people were speculating, was eventually going to a club like Madrid or Barcelona. But he didn't get the move this summer. And a lot of people said that maybe he was playing like someone who wanted away. Yeah. But there's a couple problems with that, because if you want away to a big club and you play like crap, then you're not going to get that move.
For sure.
So my question is this. Could it be that he's depressed? I mean, he could have had that picture in his mind of where, and maybe up to this point, everything's kind of worked. And now he tries to make that move, and maybe they just weren't interested. So is this a potentially depression that we're seeing?
Well, I can't comment. I mean, I think I know where the angle of the question is going. I can't diagnose Christian Eriksen with depression or not. I'm not a medical physician or anything like that. But the reality of the situation is, what I can say is related back to managing teams, big teams, leading teams, building teams in the past. In my own experiences, like you alluded to, and my experience tells me, and I don't know what you guys think as well, is that when you've got somebody, and this is a big if, by the way, I just want to put that caveat. And we do not know if Christian Eriksen is sitting in the changing room or the dressing room moping around saying, I don't want to be here. We don't know that, but that's the impression it's kind of given off. So if he does want away, and he did say in the summer that he fancied a fresh chance, if he does want away, no, I cannot believe that anybody doesn't have a drop in their subliminal by 5 or maybe 10 or even 15%. It's not that they consciously go out and say, I'm not going to put a tackle in. It's nothing to do with a tackle. It's to do with the fact that, and I put into context, right?
He's down tools almost.
He's down tools, but not intentionally. He'll sit there and actually tell you, I haven't down tools, but he actually has. Yeah. Because, if you're on a notice period, Charlie, Jason, Ricky, I bumped last week, you know what I mean? Your employment. If I'm on a notice period, say I'm on a three-month notice period, and I get into my second week of working my notice, I'm looking for another job, I'm looking for another company, people start courting me or I start having interviews, no one listening to me here cannot tell me that they are 110% focused on their current job.
When the players are playing for a new manager, the new manager bounce, the efforts go up, don't they? In that first 3 months, everyone raises their game.
Why? Because they raise their game because they want to show the manager or, whoever it is, their leader, that you pick me, I'm the person that should be playing, or I'm the person that should be doing that thing. So I'm not sure if it's a depression thing, but equally, I think that the club has tried to manage a situation that has been bad. And I'll call Jamie on this as well, because Jamie said, one of our owner calls, said 2 seasons ago, we should get rid of Christian Eriksen. But imagine if the club had sold Christian Eriksen 2 seasons ago or a season ago, 2 years left on his contract, people would have been going absolutely mad. So it's such a difficult situation. But for me, and I tweeted this, and I think that's why I thought that's why Adam was calling in. He should be nowhere near the first team, 100%. Because whatever's going on, we can all see from the outside looking in that his head ain't right, Rick. Surely.
Well, oh, and I was going to say, you agree with that, don't you, Jace?
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't be anywhere near it for me either. But
for sure.
what I'm interested in is, I don't know if we've got any listeners from Denmark, but the two Danes I know both say he's been poor for Denmark for a year as well. I know he got an assist the other night, but it was, what, yep. Gibraltar or San Marino or something.
Well,
I mean,
missed a penalty for them as well, didn't he?
He missed about five penalties a year, hasn't he?
I mean, for us as well, but...
He missed 25 free kicks and five penalties. But no, seriously, apparently he's been quite poor for Denmark by his standards. I think, you know, he peaked for Denmark when he got, was it hat-trick in Ireland, wasn't it, in their playoff game, and he scored three that night, three fantastic goals when they went to Ireland and won 5-1. Mm. He missed the penalty in the World Cup for them, and apparently he's never been the same for Denmark since. So it may just be that he's not bothered with Tottenham. He's just genuinely out of form.
Yeah. Adam, just quickly as well, I know you wanted to ask a question about the chairman as well, didn't you?
Well, yeah, the only thing I wanted to say is that I saw the Alistair Gold wrote an article about the naming rights of the stadium and how the success of the NFL might like actually help Tottenham in terms of the financial aspect of the naming rights. And on Twitter, I was just kind of stunned by how many negative responses it seemed like there were. And obviously I'm American, you can tell by my accent. But to me, I was really amazed by that because, really, if you think about it, it's quite a financial coup what he's been able
it's
to
genius.
Do.
I think he's genius, Adam. I think he's genius.
I think if Tottenham were flying high in the Premier League, it wouldn't get anywhere near the amount of interaction that it would get now. Because we're struggling, because things aren't going well on the footballing aspect of the club, I think that's why there's a lot of negativity around the NFL. And it is something to dig at. I think, like I said, if the form is all well and good, you wouldn't get too much criticism on the NFL, to be honest.
And I'll be honest, I think every other club is looking at Spurs saying, I wish we could do that, and have the NFL team come in. And another match day revenue for them. Adam, thank you so much calling us all the way from the States as well. Pleasure to hear from him. We are going to talk about that trust meeting and the chairman a little bit more. We're going to come back to that next. Love Sport. You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs. Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen and Jason McGovern. We're talking everything where Spurs are concerned. And we want you to get involved tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 7020 558. Got a feeling this show is going to be a good one because the passion is brewing. And that's exactly what you've done because Gav has called into the studio now. And Gav, I believe you want to talk about the manager because you believe it's ready for him, time for him to depart.
Evening, boys. How are you all?
You're okay. How are you getting on?
How about you?
Yeah, good, good. Listen, I don't want to be the voice of doom, and I feel like whenever I call you, I'm the one who's casting this bad spell. But just, it doesn't get better on the pitch, so it's not making the mood any better for any of us, I'm sure. I've been thinking about this Potch situation a lot. And, Rick, you're quite sort of certain a lot of the time about saying, you know, you don't know which players are trying to throw him under the bus, etc. at the moment. I was just thinking back over the last 12 months, and I think it's been pretty fair to say that Poch is very open with his flirtation with Madrid, for instance.
Yep.
And then we got to the summer, and he didn't take Danny Rose on tour. And when Danny Rose was in England, he basically said, I didn't know if I was staying or going. I asked the manager, and he couldn't tell me. Tripp said the same thing when he joined Atletico. Do you think that he's brought a lot of this on himself? And then we come back 2 weeks ago and he has this bad defeat at Brighton and he says, I'm not going anywhere. Why would I be going anywhere? So from going from flirting with Madrid to having some really bad results, he suddenly wants to say, it just doesn't add up.
Gav, he's made mistakes. I think we had the show 2 weeks ago where we looked at the manager very in-depth on the show, and we did it on the podcast as well. And I can sit here and say that he has also contributed to the reasons why the team isn't playing to the full potential it is. And again, I think you have to look back even before that Champions League final, the pre-match press comments before that, and he was saying about if he might leave. And I was thinking, what does the dressing room think when your manager is sitting there saying, I might not be here after this? And I get it, because if you win that game, of course it's the biggest club competition in the world, and for Tottenham, is that the pinnacle? But what he should have been thinking is that if he wins that for Tottenham, that would be the start of a new chapter. Whereas, if you look at the negative to that, to actually say I might go, How does that affect the dressing room? And we know that his mood hasn't been the greatest, but there's been lots of stories coming out over the fact that there's been friction in the camp, the way he's treated certain players. I mean, I'll give you an example. For me, if I'm Lucas Moura, I wouldn't be too happy if I'm Lucas Moura and I'm not playing anywhere near the amount of minutes that I should be for what I've given so far as an output on the pitch. So in response to your point, I do think he's made a lot of mistakes, but so have the players. It's, again, I think it's a joint thing. And listen, he needs to get results. It's a results business. So, you know, what will happen is whatever happens on the pitch will dictate his future no matter what, Jace, won't it?
Absolutely. I mean, he's definitely not helped himself with some of his comments. And so, like I said, sometimes he makes bizarre things and you think, why are you saying that? Why? Even, I mean, when he came out and said, we're having crisis, why? Mm. Just, you know, I know fans like to hear all these things, but I just think, just get the... I tell you what, Tottenham need to sign a new media manager, if anything, because you think, just
calm down.
Why
can't we keep anything in? Why can't we keep anything in-house, though?
Exactly. Keep it in-house.
Need Toby Alderweireld's social media manager.
Yeah,
Spurs,
he's a winner. He's a winner.
He knows what he does.
He's got a 10-year contract with that social media.
I think just to... Sorry, Gav, just to interact with you there, if I can, from my perspective. I think talking about Potts departing is utterly ridiculous. I think, you know, what this guy has done, not virtually single-handedly, we can talk about the ball, we can talk about Levy after that. He spent no money. He had two transfer bans on the, transfer window bans. Chelsea had got one and they're all panicking. We had two.
But that was self-inflicted, wasn't it?
The point being, in 5.5 years, this guy has taken us to one domestic final, two semi-final domestic semi-finals. We've been challenging the Premier League title twice, and he's taken us to a European final. Now, I'm sorry, on a budget of virtually zero, you're having a laugh at this guy has got to be going. If he ain't got credit in the bank, he's had three or four bad results. And I take you back to the beginning of last season as well, all of you and the listeners, as well. Take you back to the beginning of last season. We were virtually out of the Champions League after the first three games and we got to the final. So results can turn around very, very quickly and very, very easily. To actually say, I think it's about time Potts departed, I think we're deluded by saying that, Gav. No offence to you, but I just think that's ridiculous. This guy is the best thing that's happened to our football club, and I've been supporting him since the 1987 FA Cup final. It's the best thing that's happened to our football club in the entire time that I've supported Tottenham.
The thing is, Lee, I think you think very much like a fan, which is what you are, absolutely. But what about the players? Do they think, oh, I'm going to hang around for another 3 or 4 years and see if he can build something else? As far as I'm concerned, it's black and white. He's into his sixth season. He's won nothing. He wants to do a rebuild. And for me, and I know Chris said this a few weeks ago, a rebuild is basically admitting this is over. We didn't win anything. We need to start again. I can't see him sticking around.
I don't see there's anything wrong with that. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Most businesses, most football clubs are built around what you learn when you haven't been successful. That's when you learn the most. You don't learn when you're in your comfort zone. You learn when you're outside of it. You know, when you're challenged, when you're bringing things. The cycle that's ended. So what? So we.
Colchester away shows he's learnt nothing.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the players. The players as well as the manager. You've got to have a look at it as a collective. The cycle is over. You're saying, Gav, that you don't think Mauricio Pochettino has it in him to build a team that can win something. That's basically what you're saying. Is that right?
Lee, if you've got a sales manager running your team and you're not getting results from your sales guys, who are you going to sack?
Well, it depends. You can't say that because it depends. You have to look at the collective. You don't just sack the manager. That's what happens in football, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the manager's fault. If he's got players that don't want to be there, if that sales manager's got people that are sick and that they're not coming in, it's not his fault. It's people that they've been hired wrong. So maybe we're looking at the wider collective here. We should have shifted six players. Eriksen, Toby Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Wanyama, Aurier, Danny Rose. They should have been out of the pick and they should be nowhere near the first team. Any of them.
What didn't he learn at Colchester?
What did we learn?
What didn't he learn? When you said he should have learned at Colchester, what should he have learned that he didn't?
What I'm saying is the Colchester game has showed that he hasn't learned over the last few years. Putting out that team...
Hold on a minute. Everyone wanted Troy Parrott to start that game. Everyone calls for Lucas Moura to start every game. Lucas Moura started. Troy Parrott started. People have been saying, get rid of Yang from the team. Get rid of Danny Rose out of the team. He got rid of him out of the team. So he actually picked that night aside that lots of people, including myself, want to see, and it didn't get over the line and it lost on the night. But you can't say he didn't learn if the result we lose on... I mean, if Lucas Moura scores his penalty and Lucas Moura is the player that everyone wants in the team, we go through.
I think to go there with three defensive midfielders against a team like that is really weak. It's a weak mentality.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But nobody wants Ericsson in the team. When Lamella's picked, everyone goes into uproar. Everyone wants Moura. Everyone wanted Parrott. So there was plenty of players on that pitch that was good enough to beat Colchester.
My only argument on that team, Gavin, and what I will probably agree with you on, is that how many players that are on that field want to still be at the football club. I think if you look at it from that angle, I think that's fair. And the problem I've got is that my concern is that as long as there's players that are still in that team that don't want to be at the football club, I can't see too much changing between now and January. My concern is that when he comes out with comments saying today that we're going to fight, some of those players, they don't want to fight anymore for Tottenham.
No.
So that's why, for me, it's contradicting what he said 2 weeks ago when he sits there and says, we need to make changes. And then suddenly 2 weeks later, we don't need to make changes. Well, which one is it? And stick to your word if you're going to say your word. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, great. Thank you, lads.
Good call, Gav.
Cheers, Gav. Cheers, really appreciate it. Gav there calling into a heated discussion. Believe it or not, me, Ricky and Jace are still in the studio. It was Lee and Gav there, but they were taking the reins. It was a really good discussion. And Lee, actually, I wanted to ask you about that because obviously we haven't seen you for a while. We'll blame Ricky for that because that's a fact.
Again.
But the manager's obviously been a top topic of this show, all the talk. You know, it spreads like wildfire on social media. Sure. I haven't got to ask your thoughts on it. For you, obviously, just hearing your thoughts then, absolute nonsense.
It's absolute nonsense, and I think that, you know, the reality of football, well, I forget the business side and, you know, different teams and whatever, and it's a good discussion with Gav, so thanks again for the call. But the reality of the situation is, and we talked about this on the WhatsApp group in the week and a couple of weeks ago, the manager carries a can. Like, it is a results business. The manager carries a can. I want Daniel Levy. I want to understand Daniel Levy looking into Pochettino's eyes, or me looking into Daniel Levy's eyes and going, do you back this geezer? Do you back him? Because what he has done, I just can't get the image out of the last day at White Hart Lane that I was there, you know, the finale, Poch looking around and seeing what was going to happen. And, you know, this is, there's nothing wrong with failing. There is nothing wrong with reinventing your business. There is nothing wrong with trying something, not getting where you want to be, and then going again and trying again and learning from the mistakes. Gav does make a point about, are we learning? That's up for debate. But the reality is Tottenham 2.0, as Jamie always talks about, this is it. This is the rebuild, and this is the painful bit. But, you know, we have no right. We have absolute, especially as Tottenham Hotspur, we have no right to be at the top of the league. I mean, not being funny, before Poch come, none of us in this studio or listening right now actually thought within 2 or 3 years we'd be challenging for the title. That's exactly what's happened on a budget of nothing.
And a European Cup final.
And a domestic final. And two domestic semi-finals. Come on.
Lee's talking about it there, Ricky, but he said that the important thing, it's not just the manager. He wants to look the chairman in the eyes. Is that the general feeling for the fans now? It's not necessarily the manager. The chairman needs to answer for a lot of this stuff as well.
Well, I mean, he's been speaking this week, the chairman. You know, we have Kat and Martin here regularly from the Tottenham Hotspur Trust, and they sat down with
Hashtag
Daniel.
Justice for chips.
Exactly, which you didn't get in a week and a fortune chat. You can tell that story later about the NFL topic. But, you know, Levy admitted during the week that it's been difficult to sell certain players. And he says you just can't physically force players to sign a contract if they don't want to be there. And this is why I find the comments from Maurizio today just even more staggering, to come out and say that, as well as no signings, he doesn't see anyone leaving the club. Well, we know players are unhappy. So in order to get that dressing room back to some form of harmony, changes have to be made. And again, I'm just hoping he's putting like a brave lid upon it just to kind of bluff his way through it. But what made me laugh a little bit was Tottenham put out a clip when everyone returned from international training, and Maurizio's going around shaking the players' hand as if to say everything's fine. We know as fans watching that team week upon week, not all is fine.
Why do they choose to do that when it's not going well? It's like, oh, it is going well, like when we know it's not. We've never seen clips like this before. Now, this won't appease fans, will it?
I think you have seen clips like that before. You just don't. You don't. Maybe it's highlighted that way.
Yeah, actually, possibly.
And that's the thing. And I just want to bring Jason, if I can, on a point that Rick just made. How many times? How many weeks and months has Jace been saying the same thing about you know, about players not needing to move players on.
That was the biggest problem.
And not being able to move them on. You know, it's very difficult to move a player on if you don't want to go in this day and age. And again, we keep coming back to kind of business and workplace or whatever. If I'm running a sales team, for example, say 20 people, and I've got people that are not performing, they go on performance review and they get fired, or we just let them go. You can't do that in a football club because they're on a 2-year contract.
And it's amazing, isn't it, that, you know, a week ago we're sitting here with people saying all the players are unhappy and they're underpaid, and yet we can't get rid of them. You know, why aren't those players wanting to go?
Sure.
They're underpaid, they're not happy, and they're still there.
Well, the biggest point you made, Jason, it always stays with me. When you speak about Dele, everyone's like, you know, we have to give him this new contract, 6 years. Mm. He got that 6-year contract now. He's not in the greatest form at the minute, obviously injury permitting, but everyone's moaning about him. And as Jay said, we just give him a 6-year contract. It's not as simple as that, oh, now we can't play and we get rid of him. It just does not happen, like you just said it, Dele.
Again, I think with the situation with Dele, I mean, I'm a massive Dele Alli fan, absolutely love him. I think he epitomises for me exactly what kind of the raw talent piece, if you like, in Spurs is all about. I love it. And I think maybe, you know, with him, he needs to play games to play himself back into form. You don't become
a rubbish player overnight.
Yeah. And it's the same with Christian Eriksen.
You don't become a rubbish team overnight.
Exactly. So Mauricio Pochettino has a decision to make, and maybe that's what he's trying to say in his refreshed state of mind after the international break in his press conference, is going, okay, this is what I've got. This is what I'm going after now. Do you know what I mean? This is how we're going to move forward. But I would be doing it in a different way.
Well, we need to get on and talk about that trust meeting, and we're going to be looking at what happened there next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen and Jason McGovern. Well, it's been a heated show so far, talking about the manager, talking about the team, and how long maybe has this team been poor for? Gav, who called in just then, he said he wants the manager to go. Is that a knee-jerk reaction, or is he judging this from the stat that Lee brought up? 22 games in 40, not a good run that they're on in this calendar year, 2019. Ricky, for you, is the general feeling of fans, is it based on this season or that poor form since the start of the year?
No, it's definitely obviously from the 2019, the start of that calendar year. I said fans are well within their rights to be critical of all aspects, the manager, the board, you know, the players. Who are we to sit here and judge who's right and who's wrong? At the end of the day, everyone has made mistakes collectively. You have to hold your hands up. Could Maurizio have been better in terms of his personality, in terms of the way he would have led the group? You could argue yes. Could the players perform better? Obviously. Could Spurs have done more in the transfer window? I think we've said that consistently. Yes, they could have. And it's not easy to get it right, but the fact of the matter is that this is a massive, massive couple of months coming for Tottenham. And I fear for Maurizio, I really do, because you can't carry on in terms of the form we're in. You just can't. And it does worry me. I love him, but everyone has their certain limit. And he needs to get a result at the weekend. He does. He needs to get a result at the weekend, doesn't he, Chase?
Absolutely he does.
Well, when you were, the team needs to get a result, but needs to get a result, obviously that...
He needs to get a result. He does, Chase. He needs to get a result for himself.
So you're the chairman, Rick. So you're Daniel Levy. Mm. When do you pull the gun out? You got to twat your finger right now. Yeah, I'm asking you. Right,
you
now,
said about the tolerance level.
So I mean,
so
the tolerance.
If you're asking me where the chairman pulls it, he pulls it at the point of where that gap between fourth to the rest is becoming at a point where it's going to be hard to claw back.
So, for example, just to we're clear on that.
Yeah.
So basically, let's put it into a different context. Mm. So the Arsenal board pulled the plug, shoot Emery in the face, right, last season. Because up until the last game of the season, they were like, what, 10 points behind fourth? 11 points behind fourth? How many points behind fourth did they finish? One. Yeah, they didn't get there, but they finished 1 point behind because of a dodgy penalty and whatever.
I mean, the only argument with Tottenham is that we know that always not well at the football club, and there wasn't this cloud hanging over Arsenal for months and months and months. You know players are unhappy. You know there's obviously drama behind the scenes. You know the manager... Jay says this all the time. How committed is he to this rebuild? We as fans don't know. Only Daniel Levy knows that, doesn't he, Jace?
Yeah, for me, that's the conversation. That when you say about Daniel Levy, when does he pull the plug? It's when he looks in the eyes of Pochettino and sees that he doesn't want to be there. Mm. And he genuinely has that conversation and look, do you want to get a January? What do you want to do? Well, actually, I don't think I can do it. Then you pull the plug.
Yeah, I think, well, it's again the question of the chairman and the manager. Let's talk about the chairman now and that meeting. I think we need to get into that.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs. Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen and Jason McGovern. We are here for the 2 hours talking everything where Spurs are, all that matters about Spurs. And we want to talk a little bit about that supporters trust meeting. And you can get involved, though, in tonight's show. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. There is so much to talk about. And we're going to look at that game with Watford on the weekend. Let's talk about that meeting, though, Ricky, now, because there was so much to get into. Firstly, what were the main details that come away from it? And what did you take from it?
Yeah, again, I mean, I know we spoke about it a little bit at the start. I mean, Daniel Levy openly admitted how difficult it was to sell certain players during the summer. I presume he's referring to the players that are coming, obviously, to running their contracts down, the likes of Christian Eriksen, Jan Vertonghen, Danny Rose, Serge Aurier wanted away, as we all know. And then I look outside of that, those players, and you also get players maybe like Kyle Walker-Peters, who has been on the bench, where his favoured right-backs are not necessarily right-backs over him. And I just think, as a player, how does that make you feel? As a young player, wants to be trusted, wants to play games. Davinson Sanchez has played there, as we know. Eric Dier has played there. 1-4, I feel sorry for him, because I think, Jason, you've alluded to it, that it might have been different for him if 1-4 was fit at the start of the season. That hasn't happened. And maybe we are going to see the emergence of him now. He's playing for Argentina. He's, as we understand, available for the weekend. So let's see if he's good enough. Jamie Brown thinks he is, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think Foyth is a difficult one, because that's the one that Poch obviously wanted as a right-back. So when everyone's saying we should have signed a right-back, I do have sympathy that the right-back he's wanted in the side all season hasn't kicked a ball. But, I mean, I know Jamie does. I have my doubts that he is a right-back. I look at him pace-wise and think one-on-one, he gets done too easily. But, you know, that, in fairness, that's what Pochettino wants to do it, and we'll have to see. And it's not so much judging him. I mean, if he has a bad game against Watford, you don't write him off. And if he has a brilliant game against Watford, you don't think you've solved the problem. It's what his run of consistent form's like over 15, 20 games. And then you make the decision if he's good enough or not.
Rick, what else happened at the meeting?
And I think I say it was more of a case of Daniel Levy basically reaffirming the point that you cannot force a player to sign a contract. It's back to what you're saying, Lee, that, you know, if a player doesn't want to be there, you can't just move them on.
And how difficult it is to get those deals over the line. I think people hear a name in this mad transfer window, the transfer window frenzy. I know you're the transfer guru, Ricky, but they hear a name and they expect it to be done within 24 hours. That is not how deals work. Image rights is far more complex than that, isn't it?
Yeah, and you add Daniel Levy into that fact. Nothing against Daniel. Listen, I always say on the show that for all the drama maybe the ball brings at the club, I do believe they work in the best interests of it, but at the same time, they have held us back in elements, and I'm sure they would say that themselves, but it's a massive game at the weekend. When I referred to before the break, Lee asked me the question, how long do you give it? Well, the fact of the matter is that Maurizio Pochettino's contract is worth between 25 to 30 million. To get into the Champions League every season, the qualification of that, I think it's about 60 million. So I feel, and I know Lee's a massive staunch Poch fan, again, same as I, but my intention is to see Tottenham Hotspur do well. Love Pochettino, but my first and foremost love is for the football club. I think where that becomes at risk, I think that is where the ball look at it. Do you agree, Jason? Because his contract's worth 25, 30 million. Champions League qualification's worth 60 million. And they need that for the stadium, don't they?
Well, you'd think they need it for the stadium. I don't know when Daniel Levy will pull the plug. I mean, I certainly think we get to the next international break without too many problems, but beyond that, I think it's just the desire. When he senses the desire isn't in Pochettino, that's when you start looking around. But I mean, I agree with you. Results have to change. I mean, if you lost the next 15 in a row, then obviously you've got a problem. But let's get to that next international break first.
Well, you make a brilliant point, Jace, about, you know, that desire. And we'll never know that. So, you know, only them two guys can look into each other's eyes and whatever and have that thing. I think, you know, coming back to the Pochettino and the staunch Pochettino fan I am, because, you know, the minute he gets into a bit of trouble, people are calling for his head.
Would you say it's a minute though, and it's 22 defeats in 40 games?
Well, you could say, hang on a minute. What about all the stuff that he's already done? Like, you'd never been to a Champions League final as a fan. He got us there. You'd never been in a title challenge
But we've done it twice in 5 years since he's been there. The football that we've played, we've gone to at most, because I can't say all, because we ain't done Liverpool, but most European giants away grounds and beaten them. We never did that before, Poch. Seriously, are people deluded here? Like we just haven't done it. And the minute, in terms of... Look, results change really quickly in football, and in football, yeah, it's always about the next result and not the ones that have gone past, and I get that. And it is a results business, I get that as well. But the reality of the situation is that this guy, surely, credit in the bank, whatever you want to call it, surely has got enough time and credit in the bank with us amazing fans and the amazing listeners that are out to actually go, look, let's give this guy some time to turn it around. Coming back to Jason's point, if he hasn't got the desire, then there's nothing you do about that. Passion and desire and that attitude of I'm going to go, that has to be there. If the fire in the belly's gone, then
for
I agree.
You, has it gone?
I think as well, you know, he's definitely, I mean, for me, he's got more than enough credit in the bank. And hopefully those two sit down and they discuss January, and regardless of what he says today. And if Daniel Levy thinks it's possible to strengthen or whatever than that, I hope that Pochettino gets the chance, because it would be a real sad thing if finally the chairman loosened the purse strings and the one person that's deserved to have a chance to spend that money is the one person who can't, and somebody else comes in. So, you know, for me, like I say, I want him to get to the end of the season and then sit down and talk about it. But I accept results will partly dictate that.
What about two of the players he did sign, Lo Celso and Sessegnon? He said they are a way off playing from the level that's required of them. Is that worrying to hear that, Rick?
Well, they haven't kicked the ball, have they? And they haven't really been involved in first-team training. So, as we understand, they're close to being involved in first-team training. Only when he feels they're right do you put them in. And even more so now. You know, when I almost say when his job's on the line, but when you are struggling, the last thing you want is just playing players just for the sake of keeping fans happy. He'll play the players that you like to believe that he can trust and put 100% faith in is going to get him through this sticky run. But I think the good thing for him is that when you look at the international break, there has been players that have performed. Some haven't. We're going to get into those that haven't soon, because Jason's smiling about Danny Rose. But Harry Kane, for example, I mean, what a display he had for England the other night. You know, 3 assists and a goal. And I think the way he handled himself and his team on that pitch for England and dealt with the racism issue, I think is a credit to the football club. And he's a special guy. And I just don't want it to get to the point where he looks around and thinks, OK, where is the long-term vision for the football club? That's what really concerns me with Harry.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there in terms of long-term vision. I think that was part of it. Poch was sitting there saying, OK, we've done the cycle. Gavin's talking about the end of the cycle. There's nothing wrong with the end of the cycle. Business plans come to an end. We do another one. You know, but, you know, plans come to an end in business, or we change things around, or we didn't get to where we want to go to. We go again. We reinvent ourselves. We have a new service that's come into the business because the old service is gone. Kodak. Who would have thought a global business like Kodak could go down? Well, digital cameras come in and they were still processing film. You know what I mean? Like, things change and evolve, and that's what we've got to do. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, come back to the whole Poch situation and what we've created and where we are. You talked about Lo Celso, you talked about Sessegnon. You're right, you ain't kicked a ball. You alluded to the fact earlier that Daniel Levy's got a problem with signing players when they needed them. Poch went out and said, I want Ndombele. So he signed him in July. Yeah, no arguments. He signed him. He had a full pre-season done in his belt. Boom, have some of that. He didn't sign Lo Celso to get a pre-season because he was away in the America's Cup, or whatever it's called. Yeah. And Sessegnon was injured. So the reality is, there's nothing wrong with it. Daniel Levy may as well have signed him on the last day of the season and get a good deal for him because he was injured anyway. So he wouldn't have had a pre-season. And actually, look at Lo Celso. He went away for international duty and he got injured. I think what we've done here... Sorry, Jace. I think what we've done here is we've created a bit of a monster. You know, and maybe that is the you know, all of us nowadays want something instantaneous. Now, you've got to put it over a period of time. These results are in a small period of time. Over the project value, we've been absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. I don't care if people tell me, oh, you're celebrating a failure. No, I'm not. What I'm doing is this failure is going to make us better. You mark my words, the next 10, 15 years, we are going to be a superpower in European football.
Well, not only did he sign him, Lee, he did sign him for a transfer record fee. After that inactivity, there's always two ways of looking at the story, two ways on the narrative. Next, though, you have been calling in and we're going to go to you, and you can still tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen and Jason McGovern. And what a packed show it is. We will be later looking at that game with Watford on the weekend because the Premier League is back. We've been talking about the manager's comments. We still need to look at the players that went out on that international break and talking about the NFL games that were at Spurs during that international break.
Genius.
But as always, you've called into the studio and that's what we want you to do. And you can, 0208 720 558. But Phil has called in. Phil, a real pleasure to talk to you this evening. I know you want to talk a little bit about the team getting back on track.
Yeah, hi guys.
You are Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Listen, I just wanted to ring in. I didn't ring in last week because I'm allowed to play in my sorrows. I have to give it a little bit more time. Some people drink to remember, some people drink to forget.
What if you do both, Phil?
I didn't want to slur too much on the radio, lads. It might be too bad as it is with my dulcets. But anyway, basically, what I thought was, you know, there's a lot of talk about what's going on behind the scenes, why aren't the team performing. There's clearly a lot going on, and there's a lot of speculation. But as I think you talked on one of the shows recently, on one of the podcasts, some of the stats after Match of the Day in the Brighton game were quite telling. The one that I think was the biggest was... you know, the amount of pressing there's been and the way it's gone really down into the doldrums. Now, look, I think if you're suffering with confidence, things aren't going your way, you know, things aren't going to come off. Like Dele sometimes, he tries things. When he's on form, he looks like a genius. When he's not, he looks shocking.
Yeah.
But I'm not singling him out. That's true of anyone. And it's true of anyone, any of us in our own daily lives and our own work.
100% agree.
So I think sometimes you've just got to try and just knuckle down, pull your bootstraps up and go for it. And I think if we just went back to working hard and putting the high press on, that you actually can run yourself back into good form. And it's a virtuous circle, I think, because the harder we see the team working, the fans are going to appreciate that, even if we... God forbid, get bad results. Even more so, the fact that we can see the players working hard again and trying. You saw it in a spate in the Bayern game, but then we just looked like we completely, you know, blew ourselves out, and then we know what happened. But I think if we work hard and press, they'll actually get their own confidence back. And even if they don't, you force the opposition into mistakes. I don't know what you guys thought about that.
Well, I think one of the big things was we saw that, in fairness, in that Southampton game. You know, we was on the back of Colchester, the disappointment in the week. We knew we needed a performance. We played well early on against Southampton. Then we had the ridiculous sending off. Then Hugo's mistake, which gave you adversity, and you thought, right, this is a test of character. And my God, did we then put a shift in for the next hour. And I thought we really deserved the win. And the shame was that all that fight and character that we showed in adversity against Southampton was completely out of it at Brighton, where, again, you had the worst possible start. So it gave you the platform to really show that character, and there just wasn't any. And that's what I think what was so worrying in that in the Brighton game, that when you know, when the cameras were going in on the eyes of those players, you just looked at them after Hugo's thing and you just looked at, you know, it was almost empty. You could think, well, I think you said it, Rick, even though there was 90 minutes in that game left, you said, we're already done for. And you could see that the whole side just kind of lost confidence, lost belief, and there just wasn't that fight. But you're right, they have to stop feeling sorry for themselves and they have to get back to doing the bare basics and build a platform from there.
Do you think
some of this is down to the manager, Lee? Bringing back to you, I know you've been really positive on Poch.
Yeah.
You know, rightly so, he has got credit in the bank. But when I spoke to you guys a couple of weeks ago, I was, you know, saying maybe it's time for him to go. I do think we've got to give him time now.
For sure.
I'm sort of rowing back on that. That means it's a kiss of death and he'll be gone very, very soon. But he deserves to be given a chance. The worry I have, though, is that, you know, we're talking about this second phase now, and 2.0, but actually, he's made a roll for his own back in how successful he's been. But when we achieved the dream of and the objective of getting Champions League football by the time we got to the new stadium, you know, three seasons potentially early, it's at that stage that we should have changed the 5-year plan for me. And I know the finances probably weren't there,
But that's how, that's why I think it sticks in a lot of people's throat a bit, because it, we all know that we were, you know, a little bit of extra spending away from something really, really groundbreaking. Look, I know you don't want to bet the farm, and Levy's a businessman at the end of the day. He's not going to, and he didn't, obviously, sanction spending that maybe we could have done with. But the worry I have is, Poch isn't completely blameless with this, because he, you know, he's part of the three-man transfer committee that we hear about now.
Yeah.
And even before the self-imposed, to your point, Lee, transfer ban that he was under, or, you know, some of the players that we bought weren't good enough to even force themselves into the squad, let alone the starting 11. And that's why we see that the squad is getting a bit tired now. And I mean, the only other point I wanted to make was, is even though there's a bit of a love-in with Levy and Poch, and they seem to have a really close relationship, I don't want to do that down too much. One of the things is, do you think sometimes Poch is playing some players, and Poch believes in the players as footballers? Obviously, they've proved it to him over a number of years, especially with, you know, likes of Rosie, Jan, and Toby. But as assets, they're no good to the club anymore, and so Levy's not sanctioning giving them new contracts. So they feel undervalued, so it's actually now starting to affect their performances.
Yeah, he made some really good points. I think that the point that you made about changing the five-year plan 3 years in or 2 years in, I think it's an excellent point, a very, very good point. And, you know, if you're on track to do something, what we've amassed to do is, we was ahead of the game in terms of the pitch, but we weren't ahead of the plan in terms of off the pitch. And what we ended up doing is letting the off-the-pitch stuff catch up with the on-the-pitch stuff. And that's the junction that we're at now. And I think you make a good point.
Or rather, on-the-pitch, drop down,
yeah,
to off-the-pitch.
Yeah,
pitch,
drop down to off-the-pitch
situation. That's my worry, that we might actually end up failing on the original five-year plan, because we're first full year in the stadium.
Yeah, and we don't get Champions League football. Yeah, for sure. Like, I get it. I think it's been an absolute massive journey over the last kind of 4 or 5 years, with the whole stadium, all of the training ground, that, you know, the players that we've got coming in. I mean, you mentioned earlier about Eric Dyer, Ricky, playing right back. He played right back for the first ever game for Tottenham when he scored the winner, a 93rd minute winner against West Ham. I think he came as a right back. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we signed him for like £3 million. So we were signing Stalteries and all these sorts of players, you know, during that period. You know, to come through and see Eric Dyer become, you know, in his heyday, a £40-50 million player, and then Christian Eriksen being worth maybe 100-120 million, and, you know, Dele Alli signing 6-year contracts, and after, you know, being signed for £5 million, all of that great stuff. And there's nothing wrong with changing that cycle, but actually maybe that cycle change has come a year later, or maybe 2 years later, as you were saying before. I think for me, the reason why Poch needs to stay is not because I'm sentimental towards Pochettino. It's because I genuinely think, for the club, the values, the way that we are, and the philosophy of his football, is the best thing for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club.
Yeah, completely agree. Phil, thanks for ringing in. Thanks, some Phil. Really valid points there and a good insight. Phil, always feel free to call up the Spurs Fan Show. Unbelievably, the first hour has come to an end, and rapidly so. Where does it go on the Spurs Fan Show? But don't worry, because there is a second hour still to come, and there is lots to get into.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan
back.
Show.
We are dancing back here, Chase. You ain't seen that before, have you?
I've not seen it. As you may have noticed, or you're listening, of course, I have no control, certainly, over Lee. The dancing is in full flow, in full swing.
It's all doom and gloom, isn't it? Everyone's thinking, oh, you know, we're going to be relegated. We're going down to League 2. You know, we're not in the Champions League. We've knocked out of the Champions League. We're knocked out against Colchester. It's all doom and gloom, isn't it? What's the matter with you lot?
It's good.
It's happy days. You cut a couple of three points, another 3 points. We're back in the mix.
It's good to have you back, and those hips back, because they are in full flow. Yeah. Let me tell you, you're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined by the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen, and Jason McGovern. And Lee is back, and we want you to get involved. And guess what we've done for Lee? It is only time for Adrian's Corner. Adrian has joined us on the line. Adrian, I know you want to talk about the recent comments by the manager and the chairman, don't you?
You're right, Adrian.
Yeah, guys, reading between the lines of what they said, I don't think they could really have said anything else. But I actually think there will be players leaving January, and perhaps a couple of additions. I mean, the reason I say that is, looking at it logically, I don't see Levy letting it wait for six players to leave at the end of the season. Then there's also the danger of coming towards the end of the season, depending how well we're doing, of players taking their foot off the gas. Mm. What do you think?
I think it's a valid point. I think that there's a massive chance in a couple of the players leaving in January. I think Christian Eriksen will be looking for that move in January. I mean, it's interesting what Jace again has said the whole way through, and Rick talked earlier about moving players on. If there's no clubs coming in for him, you can't move him on, can you? So I think he'll be one. I actually think Jan Vertonghen's a very interesting one. And by the way, I love Jan. I think he's a Rolls Royce of them. He's been fantastic. But his best friend in football, and probably outside of football, went to China in January last year. And, you know, there may be some sort of same situation with Jan. So it could be that Jan moves on in January to a China like a Dembele did. Do you see what I mean? So I do see a couple of outgoings there. And I also do think... I know Jason's going to cane me for this and Rick's going to love me, but I do think that there'd be, depending on how well we're doing, the Barla situation might come back into play.
It won't be coming if they're fighting for a top 10 finish, Lee.
No, but it's so doom and gloom. It's a two results.
No,
does anyone feel, honestly, do you think that we can't go and put three or four results together?
At the moment, I'll be honest, I don't. No, I don't feel at the moment we can.
But we've done it so many times in the past. So I think we can.
In the last 6 months we haven't.
Lee, where's the light at the end of the tunnel? Because you believe they can string some results together. Where's it coming from? What are you seeing that they can turn the form around?
I think we've got the best number nine in the world. Absolute world-class striker. I think we've got some brilliant talent. I think we've got a world-class manager. We've got the facilities around that as well. I think a previous caller, Phil, talked about, and Adrian's talked about the comments. I think, Adrian, you're right, about what else can they say? They can't sit there and say, yeah, actually, everybody's rubbish. And you know, they're never going to play for you on Saturday, are they? If you sit there saying, no, we need a real build because, you know, half a team's rubbish. So I think they're just saying that kind of to that political thing. I think, you know, the light at the end...
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
I'm a big Poch fan.
For sure.
I believe he's got a lot of credit in the bank, and I don't believe Levy would let him go. The only way Poch would go is if he could walk, and at the moment, there aren't any job vacancies anyway.
Interesting, Adrian, you say that, actually. It'd be interesting if they pull the trigger on Solskjaer and the Man United job comes up again, or Zidane goes.
Or the Madrid job.
That'd be an interesting, another load of stuff that we have to cope with. But, you know, well, I know we get labelled quite a lot, like Spursy and all that sort of stuff. The biggest Spursy thing... whatever happened to Spurs if Daniel Levy sacked Poch? That would be the biggest Spursy thing ever, because he will go on to another club and he will be absolutely outstanding. So we've got to keep him.
I certainly think there are ways in which you can move players on in January, even if the opinion is you can't do it. It's the Euros at the end of this summer.
Sure.
So if you've got a Toby, for an instance, you leave him out of the team today and say, that's it, your season's over. You see if he wants to move in January, even if it's a loan deal or something like that.
The Roma deal.
Christian Eriksen's a fine one. You have to be creative. If he's going to get the move that he wants in the summer, make him available in January. What's wrong with actually giving him the free transfer in January instead of
May?
For four months?
I'd like to make.
Just bring closure to
bad apples in the barrel. I mean, with the six players, look, you could buy them all up for $25 million probably and get rid of the problem. If they are a problem, but we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah,
that's the
sure.
key. I think that's the key, Adrian, you say we don't know. And we don't know also, in addition to the players that we've mentioned on this show numerous times, how many more are there causing issues behind the scenes that we don't know about? What we are certain of
I don't believe that majority of those players are causing trouble. The youngsters
are. No, I don't think they're causing problems.
Apart from Eriksen in midfield, all your midfielders and strikers and, you know, they're fine. It's only at the back we've got an issue. What? You know, Rose has moaned about money, pay me what you're worth at times. Now a few of them argued about money. Well, it's a bit late now. They signed the contracts.
No, I know that, but if I'm being honest with you, Adrian, this is a question for you. Lee thinks in his mind this squad can put together three or four, five, six, seven results. I don't see really how we can go on a string of wins. I would love to see it. I want to be positive. I love them. I love the football club.
No, but
I'm just being honest, though. I can't lie.
Sorry,
I can't lie. I can't
quality.
See what's in front of me. What's that? Sorry, say again for me?
We've got the quality.
We've got the quality, but I just don't know if the squad has got the belief there. I don't know. I can't sit here and lie.
Well, the belief's a good point.
It is a very good point. We're going to get into it all. Adrian, we really appreciate you calling in. It is tradition, Adrian's corner there, but we've had another caller call in to us, and you still can, 0208 70 20 558, this time from Stuart. And it's interesting, Stuart wants to talk about Harry Kane. Lee, you just mentioned him, best striker in the world, but he's saying Kane playing in that deeper role. Is that right, Stuart?
Yeah, that's right. Hi, guys. Hi, love the show. Keep up the good work.
Cheers, thanks, Stuart.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the guys' sort of opinion on Harry Kane, because I watched the England game the other night, and I was really impressed with how he played in the sort of deeper role, how he sort of picked out a pass, obviously got an assist, well, a few assists on the night. And also picking up on what Jace has said in previous shows, where he's recurring sort of injuries that occur, mean he can't really press from the front like we'd perhaps like him to. I just thought there might be an argument if we played him a perhaps deeper role whereby he didn't have to press so much from the front, and maybe played Moura and Sonny as a sort of vocal point whereby they press a bit more and have the energy to do so, and playing Kane that bit deeper and maybe arriving a bit later into the box, you know, to put some of the chances away. Just wondered what the guy's sort of take on that was.
I think for me, you have to look at Kane and say, is he a better number 10 or is he better number 9? He's a fantastic number 10. He's a world-class number 9. And therefore, for me, he plays as a 9. But I take the point. I mean, it is interesting. I think somebody else posed the question of, you know, his relationship with, for instance, Raheem Sterling. Why can't Son and Kane do what Sterling and Kane do? And is it that Sterling's so much better than Sonny? It's difficult. I mean, for me, Tottenham-wise, I want to see Harry Kane play as our centre-forward. And there's nothing to stop him dropping deep into. We've seen him drop down. I mean, I think the goal at Liverpool last year when he picked it up on the halfway line, didn't he, and hit an immediate ball out, and we got on the end of that. We've seen Harry Kane's passing range and things
phenomenal.
Like that.
So, yeah, phenomenal.
But for me, it's first and foremost, I want him being on the end of the chances that come. Maybe that's partly because that Son and perhaps Lucas Moura and that haven't been clinical enough when they need to be, which is why I'd still sooner Kane play as the 9.
Do you want to ask you, Stu, as you're here, because you can bring on to our next subject, Danny Rose. Jason's going to have his say in a second. He's already smiling. He got an absolute battering off Roy Keane after that result against Czech Republic. Where do you stand at the moment in terms of the left-back situation at Tottenham? Would you be favouring Ben Davies or would you be keeping law with Danny Rose?
I've always been a sort of avid Danny Rose fan. I know that Jason gives you a bit of banter on the show about how he gets it and so forth. But yeah, I'm an avid Danny Rose fan. I do think Poch is kind of slowly sort of favouring Ben Davies just because he sort of sees him as a bit more Mr. Dependable within the squad.
Gentle Ben.
So perhaps we could see him like sort of, you know, bring him into the team that bit more and play a bit over Rose. I do think Rose's performances this season have been a bit disappointing, and he's not anywhere near the player that he once was.
Can I ask you, just genuinely out of interest, as a Danny Rose fan, and I don't have a problem with people that are,
don't you?
What is it? What is it?
That hang on there, Stuart. Be careful here, fella.
Here he goes. He's off.
What is it at the moment that Danny Rose is good at? What is the justification
that's the
for picking
at the
Danny
moment,
Rose?
It's not what he. Yeah, at the moment he's not the player he was. But what I did, obviously, back. You know, when he first sort of burst on the scene, what I loved about it was just his hunger, determination, you know, bombing
it.
Up the wing.
There you go,
that
he gets
kind
it.
Of idea, but obviously he's not doing that.
No, I'm the same as you, because I believe in the summer, Stu, because I defended Danny to the hilt on this show and said I wanted him to stay, and you probably were the same as me. But if I look at it now, I would probably argue that Ben Davies deserves his spot in the team just based on Rose's form at the moment. Would you agree on that?
Yeah, I'd say so. And I mean, he did play well the other night. Was it the other night for Wales, I think, Ben Davies?
Yeah, he got an assist.
Yeah, I thought he played quite well there. And obviously, you know, some people are saying that attacking-wise, he's not as good as Rose. And I suppose if you compare both players at their best, then Rose is a sort of better attacking player. But obviously the problem being recently is that Rose hasn't been anywhere near his best. So, yeah, I think Ben Davies does deserve a shot.
I mean, the thing for me is, when I sit and discuss Danny Rose with Danny Rose's fans, and I say to them, what is it you see? He gets it, is the one phrase, and it is the passion and things like that, fine. And then the other phrase they give me is, he's better than Ben Davies. But they can't actually give me one thing he's actually good at. Doesn't head it, doesn't pass it, doesn't create chances, doesn't score
not
goals.
Not at this moment, but there was a time, Jace. It wasn't too long ago last season where he was playing well, Stu, wasn't he?
Rick, it is not last season.
I know.
Look at the calendar, the
but
date.
Have I not just sat here and said to you at the moment...
He's awful.
But have I not just sat here and said to you at the moment that I would favour Ben Davies?
I thought Roy Keane his comments were right. And actually, the sad part of Roy Keane's comments is Danny Rose played just as good for England that night as he does every week for Tottenham.
Yeah, but I think that we have been honest on the show
Danny
and said that.
Rose.
But I think we have been honest and said this on the show that Davis deserves a shot over Rose. We haven't denied that.
No, but and you know this
are
thing.
You ducking, Stuart? Are you ducking in your front room or wherever you're calling from? Yeah, getting out of the line and fight. I'm in the middle of these two.
I hear people say he gets up and down the line better. Well, so does a linesman get up and down the line better. It don't make him a good left back, does it?
Stuart, we really appreciate you calling in. Thank you for giving us so much time.
Coming on this.
Lee, what do you make? Because obviously we've not seen you for a while, the Danny Rose situation.
Thanks for the call in, Stuart. For me, look, Danny Rose ain't good enough. I actually did a piece of some stats, you know, like I like my stats. I got my little Tottenham book with all my little stats in. I do all my research on that sort of stuff. I've got no autographs.
It's got the betting odds on there, the next manager.
This is all the love, Last Word on Spurs, Love Sport Radio show stuff that I do, the research and stuff. And I've done a bit last year on Danny Rose versus Ben Davis and the stats and how many assists and whatever. And actually, with the running the team, somebody will have these stats to hand. I haven't got them to hand in my book. I can't find them. But there was something like 160 games played Danny Rose and 155 games or whatever played with Ben Davis. And Ben Davis actually caught him up on the basis that he was injured for all that period of time. And the stats were ridiculous. And they were in favour of Ben Davis. He got more foot, more chances, more assists. He was scoring goals. The season that he started really well. He scored a couple of goals, didn't he? It's like he has got better stats pound for pound than Danny Rose has now.
Well, the stats work in favour of Ben Davis, so why do the fans still want Danny Rose to start, or do you? You can let us know by tweeting at Love Sport Radio or calling us 0208 70 2558. Do you agree with Ricky, Lee or Chase? I'm going to put it like that. We'll start a Twitter poll, maybe, but next we will turn our attentions to the game with Watford on the weekend and look at that NFL at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio by Last Word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen and Jason McGovern. And it has been a fiery show this evening, talking about the manager, talking about the team. There was no game this weekend. And always, we've heard from you, which is what we want to do. It's your team, your voice, and there is still time. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. Well, there was no game, but there was a game of sorts because the NFL took to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for the past 2 weeks. A brilliant success, although Ricky, you're hearing that from social media, as we know it can spread like wildfire, it can be toxic at times. Spurs fans, maybe a small minority, wasn't overly pleased with the NFL at Spurs.
I think probably the question is just how much of that money from those two NFL games are going to be reinvested back into the club, and just on a general wider spectrum, how much money is going to be invested back into the club. And I suppose on that, time will only tell. I think once we start seeing the financial output from that event or events put back into the first team squad, then I think people will be a bit more settled with it. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't massively like seeing a stadium covered in red, but then I am a Tottenham fan. Mm. And maybe I have to just remember for those two events going on, it's not really a Tottenham event, it's an NFL event.
Yeah, and if I counter back with that, obviously it's the home of Tottenham, blue and white. No one wants to see any red in the stadium. But if you don't follow the NFL and you're not going to watch the game, are you going to see the red? How much is it going to bother you? Lee, I know you are a fan of the NFL. Do the things like that, do you care? Does it bother you at all?
I think it's absolute genius. I think it's a genius. And I'm not going to say Daniel Levy, I'm going to say the club. Mm. Because, you know, engineering wise, if anyone's watched, you know, how that pitch changes,
it's incredible.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. You have to look at that and just think, wow. And then to have a whole new audience to come in and generate revenues. It's not just about the revenues, but to generate revenues, to hold out on the naming rights. Like a good friend of ours, Alistair Gold, said about in the week about holding out for them naming rights that you mentioned at the beginning of the show, and to being that global. I'm not sure whether people realise how big the NFL is. Like, regardless of whether we like it or not, it is absolutely massive. I mean, dwarfs the Premier League.
Yeah.
Dwarfs it. So the reality of the situation is that it can only be a positive thing for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, the first team squad, as you said, because, look, I can't speculate how much is going to go back into the club and this, that and the other. And, you know, Joe Lewis might take it all for himself, you know, whatever it might be. But you've got it has to be a better state of affairs for Spurs with that than it was
10 years ago, for example? Surely it has to be, doesn't
it? And I can guarantee every single club will be kicking themselves that it's them not hosting the NFL. Well, I can guarantee you.
Even if, I'm just putting this down, proper worst case scenario, not one penny or one dime, see what I did there, of the revenues from the NFL go back into the club, what else is it doing? The world global stage of NFL, for example, is looking, even though it's in America, it's huge, is looking at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Mm. They're looking at, who plays there normally? Oh, that's Tottenham Hotspur. So it's putting us on a bigger map. You know, what happens if a lot of people say Levy out and all this? What about if it's putting that on a map for a massive £4-5 billion takeover from an American? For example, you don't know what their plan is, and I'm just speculating, but it is putting us on a map, on a level where we just wasn't. There's no way that we was at that level before. No one looked at Spurs in that way, in that global way.
The big question is, we don't know how much money is going to go back into the club. But what we've heard already on those days,
record match day revenue, the
food was up, the beer was up. Hopefully it goes back into the club. But either way, this is a genius masterstroke move by Spurs as a club, isn't it, Jace?
I think that's the thing. It's the people that are critical of it want to see the investment that it's bringing into the club go into the football team. And I get that, and I want to see it. I didn't mind that there was NFL there. I mean, not my sport, didn't watch it, had no interest in it.
Yep.
Had it been volleyball or had it been 2020 cricket match, I'd have thoroughly enjoyed watching it and would have probably bought a ticket for it. So
yep. Like a bit of volleyball, sport, yeah.
Thai volleyball, yeah. but, I mean, and not beach volleyball, proper volleyball. But like I say, I mean, it's you know, it's a multi-event stadium. I get the link as well that people think it loses a feel of being the Tottenham Hotspurs football ground type of thing, and we want a stadium like that. But bring the investment in, put it into the team. The irony is, the biggest complainers, as Lee says, if that brings the new chairman, do they not want the new chairman after all?
Exactly, and surely this is what it is. You know, this is the future. You want concerts, you want, the money goes back into the community, the shops around the stadium.
That's
before
the big thing,
everyone's
I'm
around Tottenham. This is it, isn't it, surely?
That's the big thing. I think what fans want to know is the million-dollar question. Is that money going back into the team? If it is, then I think happy days. I'm the same as Jace, not my sport. Therefore, okay, I wasn't that particularly bothered what the stadium's being used for, but I would like to think that I hope that money's going to go back into the first team, because it needs to. We clearly know we need a rebuild. I mean, we've just seen this week that Lee talks about Spursy things to happen. Michelle Vaughan coming back to the club. I mean, some people might say that's pretty Spursy, but I think, you know, when you look at Tottenham's goalkeeping situation, I think that was the right thing to do. I think if Gazzaniga got injured, which, to be fair, if our luck in injuries, it could well happen, to have the pick, I think, Alfie Whiteman or the young keeper Austin, it wouldn't be ideal. Michelle Vorm is a capable number two. It's a free transfer. It's a player that is well-liked around the football club. And Maurizio Pochettino said in his pre-match press conference today that, you know, he's a face we all love for different reasons. He wanted a new challenge or experience, but it didn't happen. He's welcome back to the football club. From what we've seen, Jan's gone out with him already for, you know, for a meal. So
for beers. For beers?
For
shots?
A meal?
Well, come on, lads.
I want to think that's a positive thing. You know, then certainly wouldn't bring anyone back negative around the football club. So it's a signing.
Yeah, let's quickly
already
talk
another
about
signing. Another signing.
We've got one already.
Celebrate.
It's not even January. Let's talk about the NFL just quickly, because there is contrasting reports. But apparently, Spurs get all the merchandise, the food revenue from the games, and the tickets revenue that goes to the NFL. And obviously, we've seen that because there was a spike in prices at the stadium this weekend. And that's another masterstroke for me. Because
you can tell us about, Chess, right?
I can tell you about, because I did go, and obviously, I know you three don't want me at the stadium, but I'll be honest, I couldn't wait to get there. I knew the NFL was going to be part of the stadium. I went.
Who said we didn't want you at the stadium?
I'm guessing, I'm assuming.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, loved every single second. I was the back row, upper tier. I sent Ricky a picture. He said it looked like I was in the gods. I tell you, I wasn't. It felt like I was virtually on the pitch. And
you love it, Chess, right?
Absolutely loved it. And safe to say, I think this sounds very cliche, but I think every seat there is pretty much, I'm going to say, it's got to be a good view.
It is, but don't forget, the NFL pitch is a lot smaller than what a football pitch is.
Yeah.
So actually, you're further away from the action, if you like, the players in an NFL setup than what you are in a football setup. So it's even closer to the pitch in a football setup.
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
But I loved every second. I thought the atmosphere was brilliant. The stadium was fantastic. I expected no less, really. It's a billion-pound stadium. It's modern. It's new. But I loved it. And I just think that to have that, two games of NFL every year, as Lee says, and I think if you're not really an NFL fan or an NFL follower, you don't quite grasp, how big this sport is, how big
it's
it is
massive.
Globally. It is absolutely huge what they've done, what they do over there. Now that you get two games, and there's been a lot of, I've seen it on social media, people going, oh, the prices have gone up. And let me tell you, they have gone up, but don't worry about it, because if it was any other club, if it was Arsenal, Chelsea, Man United, Wembley, they would have done exactly the same, and I'm sure they do the same, because A, people are going to pay it, or did pay it, and B, this is just all part and parcel of the game.
But what's interesting, if according to reports you said about the revenues on beers and you know, food and all that sort of does come to Tottenham, again, another genius stroke, because they've kept the prices down for us fans, the Tottenham fans, but they've put the prices up for the NFL franchise piece, and that money comes straight back into the piece. So actually, when you look at £4 a pint for Amstel, I think it is, isn't it, Jason? For us lot, isn't it? £4. I mean, I drink the...
You drink the top shelf stuff.
I go in the brewery, don't I? You know what I mean? But... you know, the old neck oil and whatnot.
You're definitely in hospitality.
No, I'm not in hospitality. Yeah, I'm in the wall, mate. Don't worry about that.
Lee Hospo McQueen.
I'm having the neck oils. I have a few gamma rays, mate. Yeah. I'm white off one.
I'm sure I saw you on Prosecco.
I have a Prosecco. Yeah, very nice.
There's no cheese room, just to be confirmed. There's no cheese room.
But you put them prices that they're charging the Tottenham Hotspur fans, and then you put the prices next to what they're charging the NFL fans, and it'll balance itself out to something that's going to be generating some decent revenues, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the only worry is, I think, what about the Spurs fans who are in NFL fans have got a season ticket and they go, it's £4 for a pint. Then they go next week at the NFL, they go, hang on, it's £7.50, it's nearly doubled. You know, it's a little bit cheeky in that sense.
Maybe, but
for those NFL, I do completely get it. Jace, did you want to ask a question? Or
it's just going to say, do they sell just chips?
They don't. And this is the actual thing I want to ring, because you sound like this is a joke. But we obviously had Katrina on and she done this big speech. At the time, I really loved it, but now I'm gutted because it was all lies, because she said, hashtag justice for chips. You couldn't buy chips on their own. You had to buy them with wings. £9.50 for wings and chips. No chips on their own. But apparently at Spurs, you can get the chips.
Again, that's that incentive Lee was saying. For Tottenham fans, you get things that you wouldn't get if you're an NFL fan.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. And look, and actually, think about it like this. If you're an NFL fan and you want to go to games, it's a damn sight cheap to go to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium than it is to fly to Los Angeles or
to
Washington or, you know, New York to New York Jets or whatnot. So,
and another master stroke move, you've got the big, obviously, the store where the merchandise store. Yeah, the mega store. Thank you, Ricky. And the queue was ridiculous. They were putting up waiting times, an hour and 45 minutes. The queue was horrendous. Obviously, NFL tops, but mixed in with Spurs stuff. And you never know if there are fans from America or people that aren't really into football, let's get Spurs stuff. It's all money back into the club.
It does work like that, for sure.
I'll get you that scarf. I'll get you that
again,
£15.
Again, it's one of those things where, let's be honest about it, if Spurs are flying in the league, doing really well in the cups, we're all sitting here, we're saying, no, it's fantastic. At the moment, we want to see the actual footballing aspect of Tottenham pick up.
By the time the next NFL game is played there, we'd be back in the top four. We'd be having a nice little cut run. We'd have done a double header against Red Star Belgrade, got 6 points out of that. We'd be flying high in the Champions League again, and all this would be forgotten.
And I tell you, when it will be forgotten, the word from the NFL in America, I say, like, I'm in the know, I'm not. But they
You're
were
the
saying, Wembley, get rid of Wembley. They want to do it all at Spurs. And it won't surprise me, before long, the Super Bowl played at Spurs, Wembley, and then we'll see the real money, because that is
Fulham,
the money.
The owner of Fulham,
Tony
Khan.
He wanted to buy Wembley and done all that deal with Wembley because he knows, like everyone else, the NFL is ridiculous. And the club, Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, and the commercial team around there have done what we've done. We've got that deal, two games a year. When finally a European franchise team comes in, where do you think they're going to play? It's going to be Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And that is going to send us to the next... This isn't an overnight thing. This is a 10, 15 years. This is a big, big revenue generator for Tottenham.
But then will you feel like it's our stadium?
100%, because I'll tell you why.
You can't walk in there and no one I've spoken to, including all of you, you can't walk in there and not think that is White Hart Lane.
Yeah,
it is absolutely that.
for the parts that are concrete, obviously in between the glass, there's Spurs carved into the walls. The first thing I put my ticket in, first thing straight away, Harry Kane, the manager, Dele was there, their poster was over. They don't turn that around for the NFL, like quickly, let's get up the new decorations for the NFL. There was nothing inside. It's Spurs and Spurs only. It's just, it's no, your home. Make no doubt
no,
about that.
What I mean is, if you look 10 years down the line and it's, I don't know, Dallas Cowboys are using that as their London base, and it's every week, just as we did at Wembley, merchandised Wembley for Tottenham Hotspur, does it suddenly become all the pictures and that change, or his new screening goes up and things like that.
That's
and,
when I think fans then, will start to become a bit...
And then if
bit...
the name of the stadium is no longer Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, it is Delta Airlines Stadium or whatever it is, and
American
Dallas Cowboys
Airlines.
Are there.
American Airlines Arena.
Then that's when you start to feel a little bit of the loss of identity.
It's a valid point.
I think it is a valid point, but also just on that point as well, what happens if during that period of time we've generated so many revenues that we're smashing our transfer record every single year and we're winning European Cups?
Please, God.
No one will care.
Well, we're going to talk about our football, not the American kind, because we're going to look towards that game with Watford on the weekend.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined by The Last Word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen and Jason McGovern. And what a show it has been so far. We spoke about the games at Tottenham on the weekend, the American kind of football and the NFL and what impact that is having. Now, though, we have to look towards that Watford game, and we still want to hear your opinion on both those games. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. It is Watford on the weekend. It is at home. It is massive. Lee, I want to start with you because where it starts also, and something you've been passionate about and you've spoken on so well before on the shows, the atmosphere. It starts with the fans, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, I was very vocal about the Newcastle game. It's not go over old ground. I think there's been some very, very good atmospheres at the new stadium, you know, in the Champions League nights. And, you know, the Palace atmosphere was good by all accounts, and some really good performances. I think it was Phil earlier, one of the callers, mentioned about going back to kind of that high press. And I think that's what we need to do. And if that means that some of the guys in the first team now aren't fit enough to do that, or they haven't got the legs to be able to do that, then we need to get the people that can. We play such a high line at the back at Spurs that actually sometimes it's, you know, we're lacking maybe a bit of pace to get back into them certain positions, or we're caught halfway up the field and we can't get back in there. So Pochettino's got some decision making to do, you know, especially all of the eyes on what team he's going to pick and all that sort of stuff for Watford. It's going to be huge. But for me, you've got to get back to doing the things that you've done really, really well. You've got to start to get some confidence back into the team, confidence back into the individuals, into the players. It's weird earlier, actually, we talked about confidence and we talk about fine margins all the time on the show, especially within elite level of sport. And actually, when you look at Christian Eriksen, it's very easy for us to fire loads of not abuse at him, but, you know, like criticism at him and all that sort of stuff. But actually, maybe what he needs is, maybe his ego's hurt. Maybe he's like, yeah, I need a new challenge. I think Real Madrid are in for me. And actually, they didn't come in. And nor did Bayern. And nor did Juventus. And nor did Barcelona. And actually, he's thinking, looking around thinking, oh, actually, no one wants me. So maybe he needs an arm around him. But I'm not saying he does, but maybe he needs an arm around him to get a bit of confidence back, get him firing again. So that's Pochettino's job. That's what he's got to do well. I think for Watford, we're playing them at a time where, I mean, it couldn't get much worse for them either. You talked about the new manager bounce. They didn't get that. I've got a very, very good friend of mine, Lee Janaway, who's a Watford season ticket holder, goes home and away, and he tweeted me in a week, actually, and he went, oh, this is a six-pointer, isn't it? So I think they've got 2 points, haven't they? Out there, or 3 points, their first eight games. So they're in trouble.
Cool, there's that Fraser for a minute there. 3 points from eight games, is it? Not
yeah,
two.
Yeah, 3 points from eight games. So
They've yet to win in the Premier League. They're still searching for their maiden win. And actually, that's what I wanted to ask, Jace. Is this the right time to be facing them, or the worst coming off that inning? National break?
Well, I think we needed the international break just to clear some of it around the club and get some of the focus off us. And, you know, we were actually helped by the Manchester defeats the following day because all the attention then went on to those clubs, and Tottenham didn't quite get the back page headlines all week of the international week. So, you know, club in crisis, we suddenly weren't all week. But yeah, I, you know, we see the pictures this week. In my mind, we'll be perfectly fine this Saturday. I think you'll see a really strong performance. But obviously, you can't legislate for a goalkeeper doing what he did at Brighton and things like that. But I think you will get a really positive. There'll be lots of hunger. It's Liverpool away, followed by Everton away, that is more my concern.
I think what also is telling is Maurizio's comments. You know, you looked at his pre-match press conference. He said, our worst enemy is only going to be ourselves. And I think he is then looking at, you know, that situation with Hugo Lloris. If that mistake doesn't happen, do our heads drop? Do we go and lose that game? And a lot of it is back to what Lee McQueen preaches all the time on this show, confidence. When you are full of it, you can do anything. But when you haven't got that confidence there, that is where, unfortunately, some players do go hiding. They lose faith, they lack belief. And this team does need a result. But I think my concern, and I know Lee was annoyed at me earlier when I said, I just don't see this team stringing four or five wins together. I think it's very hard when you have got a squad that isn't united and all want the same thing to be able to galvanise them over a long period and be able to get results. And I just fear between now and January, I think you've said it, Jace, I don't know if we're going to get those consistent results. Liverpool's a massive challenge. Liverpool have been phenomenal this season. Huge. Everton's not going to be easy. But when I said Maurizio Pochettino needs to get a result, the club need to get a result this weekend. They 100% do.
I think where the confidence that comes in is in a game. I think they go into it feeling good. They, you know, everything's fine. It's when you go a goal down,
it's the adversity,
or something happens. Yeah. It's have you got the character to turn that around? And that's the. I mean, you know, Fulham away, which is our last away win.
A long time ago.
We didn't play well in the first half. Llorente, who everyone didn't want in the team, scored an own goal. So you got adversity. Dele goes off with a hamstring train. Nkudu comes on, and suddenly we end up winning that game. And that's what I mean. Show character in adversity, that they got the points. We haven't done that away from home since.
That's really interesting as well, because I've done a bit of kind of statty research on that exact game, because that's the last away game. It's in the book somewhere. And, you know, if you look at some of them results that we had after that, we were struggling to break teams down all season, like last season. And again, maybe it comes back to the caller earlier, Gav. He made the point about, you know, maybe it is time for Poch to go, can he get the players ready? But I believe in Poch, and I believe that he can get the players ready. I believe that he can get another tune out of these group when the rebuild's happening. I personally, and I tweeted this in the week, and I absolutely stand by, I wouldn't have anyone in the team anywhere near the first team if their contract runs out in the summer or if they wanted to move. There's six players for me that wouldn't be anywhere near the first team, regardless of how many points that we needed. I would not put them in the team, and I would, and again, I'm only getting, there's a massive caveat, if they are causing ructions, we don't know that, but if they are causing issues in the dressing room or whatever it is, I will take out Danny Rose, Serge Aurier, Toby Alderweireld, Jan Vertonghen, and Victor Wanyama and Christian Eriksen, and they are the players that I wouldn't play. And people are going to go crazy, Lee, that's the whole back line. I know, that's why it's a problem right now, because our entire back line doesn't want to be there. Our entire back line.
Rick, is there complacency in the team at the minute? I know that may sound strange because Tottenham aren't in the best run of form, but is there complacency? Because me, from the outside looking in, I go, Tottenham are going to really, like, they're going to smash Watford without sounding rude. I think they're going to bounce back, but it's what Jay said, it's the away games that worry me, because we've seen it against Palace 4-0, and then it just feels one step forward, two steps back. Do they, the players, think, oh, we'll just go back again? Because even when they went 1-0 down to Brighton, I thought, oh, Brighton are going to be in trouble here, and it just wasn't the case.
I'm going to be honest with you, it scares the life out of me, the thought of going 1-0 down on Saturday. It really does, because with the crowd as it is at the moment and the atmosphere, has this team got the character? I mean, they did, obviously, they went ahead against Southampton. They conceded that freak goal. They did, in the end, get the result. But just the way we're playing at the moment, it does worry me. And to your question about complacency, I don't think it's complacency. I think a lot of it's still, again, to do with confidence. I think that is the big key. And again, you know, Maurizio says, for him, it's about the collective he's looking for. But my concern, back to Lee's point about the players that he'd leave out the team, I think Maurizio's biggest concern and biggest problem is I don't think he has the full trust in the likes of Troy Parrott, Oliver Skipp, Carl Walker-Peters to put those players in over the players that don't want to be there. And I think what he won't do is he won't just clamour to us saying, bring these youngsters in, if he doesn't feel they're good enough. We've seen him before that he will only introduce players when he feels they're ready. And he's not just going to throw them in because, as fans, we want to see players changed.
I agree with that. I agree that's what he'll do, but that's what I would do if I was Poch.
Yeah. I think as well, it's not just the confidence and belief in ourselves. What we don't think about is the confidence the opposition has. Brighton will have looked at Tottenham having lost plus seven and thought, I know we're in bad form, but we can get at this lot. And Watford will have watched that Brighton
That's
game
what
and
worries
think,
me. Yep.
No wins in eight, but I tell you what, we can get at this lot. We can cause them problems. And it's the belief, you know, even from being 2-0 up, when you throw a two-goal lead away twice inside of a couple of weeks. So if you go 2-0 up, other sides think, if we get the next goal, we can get something. And that respect and fear that opposition has gone down for us.
Well, you saw that with Watford against Arsenal. Watford were out of that game. They came back to 2-2. So I'm not going to write any team off at all. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not going into the game confident. It pains me to say that because I am a positive, optimistic Tottenham fan. But it's hard to find at the moment lots and lots of positives. Mm. Lee's born positive. I love him for that.
No, but he's so strange because I give Watford no chance on the weekend.
There's being positive and there's being just deluded, right?
Is that being deluded?
No. There's being positive and then being deluded. I think, look, the reality of the situation, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And I agree with what you just said, what Poch will do. I'm not talking about what I think Poch will do. I'm talking about if I was the leader of that group and I had to make the leadership decisions on how I get the best out of the group that I've got and how I would do it, that is what I would do. If them six players are want-aways and they're causing friction, we don't know, it's all ifs and buts, but if they were, I would separate them from the group, I'd have them training separately, I would say, you guys, you've looked in my eyes and you want this and you've got the desire, you've got the belief and you want a dude to come on this journey with me. You don't. So you know what? Trot on. And I would take that group and I would make them as best I can. If I lost 1-0 to Watford, and I didn't get a result against Liverpool or whatever, but I would work with that group. It's exactly what he did 5.5 years ago. And people hate the phrase back to basics, but he knows how to do it. Pochettino's lost confidence. You're talking about confidence. Pochettino's probably lost confidence. Oh, what do I do here? How do I leave that player out? How do I leave? We don't know.
That worrying? Where does he get his confidence back from then? Because you're saying you're backing back. We're talking about their desire from him.
He knows. It's how you do it in life. You go back to what you know to start building that back up again. That's how you reinvent. That's what happens.
Can I just say, I mean, I just sold Toby, didn't I, last? I was the one saying sell
Toby. Sure,
yeah. Yeah, no, summer sure. Year before, yeah, I sold Danny Rose. What I will say is when people think, I actually don't think any of them are causing trouble behind the scenes. I will say that, and that includes Danny Rose. I think that the problem comes, and you said it, when they know they don't want to be there, they just drop off in that little 5% in their minds. And therefore, if you've got 6 or 7 like it, it brings the intensity down in training. And I think when they go in, for instance, after a day at Brighton, instead of all going in and saying, we've got to put this right, they're not all unified in that. That's what I mean by causing trouble. I don't actually think they're in there saying, I don't want to be at this football club. Why, Harry? Why do you want to stay here? I don't think they're spreading things like that, in fairness to them.
That's a really good point. And just off the back of that as well, just quickly, I know you've got to go to a break, but just on the back of that, and we've talked about it tonight, and you know, Daniel Levy looking into Pochettino's eyes and saying, have you got the desire to go again? What about if he's dropped off by 5 or 6% and then the players have sensed that? This is human behaviour. This is normal. Mm. Like, you know when your missus wants to chuck you, or you know, you know it. You know when the relationship
is kind of show.
You kind of know.
No, that'll be on between 11 and 12. Yeah.
I need hours for that. Yeah.
It's a relationship.
I wish
thing.
I did know, Lee.
Give us a call.
When noises start coming out of the dressing room of, oh, it's the same old voices, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the same old Pochettino voice, but actually it's the same old thing. And if you keep doing the same thing, you keep getting the same results. You've got to change it up. You've got to make something different. So in order to talk, how do they change it? They change something up in a team to get a different result. That's how they change it.
Well, we've been talking Tottenham. Someone who will know more from the Watford perspective, it is Andy Lewis from the Watford Fanshawe and the Hornets Nest podcast, and he will tell us how he thinks Watford's chances are on the weekend.
Love Sport.
That's right. It's time for the opposition view on the Spurs Fanshawe on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio by the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sacks, Lee McQueen and Jason McGovern. And guess what? We've been joined by special guest Andy Lewis from the Hornets Nest podcast and, of course, the Watford Fanshawe. Andy, always a pleasure to get you on the show. We've heard how Spurs feel ahead of the game on the weekend, but how do you feel just after that international break? You still relatively have a new manager, even if it is the second time around. Is this a good time to be playing Spurs, or do Spurs feel like this is a good time to be playing Watford?
Hey guys, yeah, thanks for having me on. I don't actually know. If we had had a game last week, I would have said it's a good time to be playing Spurs, but with the international break, we know that you know it can sort of work both ways. It can disrupt momentum for a team, but it can also galvanize a team. It gives them that little chance to rest and to sort of regroup, if you like. So I'm kind of unsure which Spurs side Watford are going to be coming up against. I think on the one hand, it's good that we're playing their team so low on confidence, but also for Spurs, if they want to get back to winning ways, there's no better team to be playing in the league than the only club left winless. So I honestly, I've got absolutely no idea what to expect from both sides on Saturday.
I don't think we have either.
There's always been talk, obviously, in the last few weeks about Pochettino's role, but was you surprised that Watford pulled the plug on Javier Garcia, and were you even more stunned that Kike Sanchez Flores is the man that walked back through the door?
So I, myself and a lot of other Watford fans weren't surprised that Javi went, but I think what we were taken aback with was the timing of it all. Because we saw after our draw against Newcastle, that was the first international break. Usually the Pozzos, the owners, are very quick to act. And I would have thought if they were going to get rid of Javi, it would have been sort of the Monday after that draw. Instead, they left it another week and brought Kike in with just, I think, 5 days to prepare for the Arsenal game. So the timing of it surprised me, not necessarily the departure. Sadly, if we take out the incredible FA Cup run, we hadn't kept a clean sheet since February. We'd won, I think, 31 points from our last 33 league games, or the other way around, something like that. It was close to relegation form. Our last two games that we had won were against already relegated Huddersfield and Fulham, who we relegated that night. So it certainly wasn't good form for Watford in the start of the season. Obviously, didn't help Javi. I was very surprised at the time that Kike was coming back. Sometimes we say, don't go back to an ex. Sort of thing, but it can work in the past. You know, Watford did it with Graham Taylor in 97. He took us to two consecutive promotions. Recently, obviously, Chelsea did it with Mourinho and won the league under him for the second time when he came back. So it can work.
There was a much bigger gaps for those returning managers than what there just, was. Just yeah. 18, but, was it 18 months?
Yeah, I mean, I'm unsure of the figures, but as the longer I thought about it, the more it sort of made sense, because obviously, this season, defensively, that's been Watford's Achilles heel. And we saw in the first season that Kike was in charge in 15-16. Watford were fairly sound defensively, and that's what gave us a good platform to stay in the division. And now he's come back in to sort of obviously improve the defence as a priority, but also he's coming back to a club where he knows the staff, he knows still the majority of the players. He doesn't have to get used to the way Watford do things, get used to little things like living in Hertfordshire, for example. He can just fit straight back in. So on that basis, it actually kind of makes sense.
Well, Andy, it's a huge game on the weekend for both teams. Lee said he has a friend who's a Watford fan. He joked, he said it's a six-pointer. I'm not sure about that. But what is your score prediction on the weekend?
Oh, well, I've always got to be positive. And I think, Watford have had 2 weeks now under Kike with his first international break. So feeling cautiously optimistic, 1-0 win.
Wow, Andy, I expected no less. A 1-0 win for Watford. Thank you for coming
Cheers,
on. Andy Lewis there
Cheers,
from the
Andy.
Hornets Nest podcast and the Watford Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio. Before I get the score prediction from you three in the studio, a certain keeper, we're talking about returning managers, made his return to Tottenham this weekend. Didn't he, Jason?
Yeah, nice to see him come back. Maybe a little bit more muddled thinking by Tottenham, because if you didn't have trust in the third choice goalkeeper in Alfie Whiteman or whoever, then why didn't you keep Vaughan on in the summer or bring in another third goalkeeper? But what would be interesting to see is, in the problems that we've had, Michel Vaughan's been away from the club. It'd be interesting to see him come in with fresh eyes, and I'd let him give the team talk on Saturday or the pre-match reel and say to them, look, from me, I've seen this happening, I've seen that happening. It's completely fresh. We've said we need a fresh voice. That's the first fresh voice in the dressing room. He's had a chance to look on. Presumably he's been watching games. He's seen all the negativity around Tottenham. And it may just be that he can put his finger on it and just calm a few things down and point a few people back in the direction they should be in.
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, listen, again,
the voice of optimism.
Yeah. For me at the moment, I'm not going to sit here and give any crazy predictions.
Has Ricky got a rope or something in the studio?
No, I'm not going to sit here and say prediction of 6-7-0 or anything like ridiculous. I think it's going to be a very, very tight game. I want to see back to winning ways.
I think Spurs will be. Let's get some score predictions. And how do you think the game will play out? Lee, I'll start with you.
I think it'd be tight. I do. I typically won't. Oh yeah, I'd do 5-0. But no, I think it will be really tight. And I think we'll concede because that's typically what we do nowadays. At the moment, with it unsettled, but I do think we'll be firing up top. I generally do. I don't. The Palace game is a good benchmark for us. You know, we're in a crisis. Everything's going. You know, we're miles off. We're out of the Champions League. We're out of the League Cup. You know, there's no way on the planet we can finish top four. Well, we're 4 points behind third, 5 points behind second. We can still qualify for the Champions League later rounds, and the FA Cup ain't even started yet. 3 points on Saturday will put us right back in the mix. And actually, we've already proved against Arsenal away and also Man City away that we can go and get some good results. Oh, and also we smashed Palace 4-0, who, by the way, are fourth in the Premier League. So there is some really good stuff that you can have a look at and start to get that kind of that good vibe bounce. I'm not going to sit here and say that we're going to go and win 4-0 again, but if we play like we did against Palace, I think we can win, and I'm going to go for a 2-1 Tottenham Hotspur win.
2-1 Spurs. Ricky, what do you think?
Yeah, John, I mean, I'll go for the same 2-1, but it wouldn't surprise me if it does end a draw, a 1-1. Wouldn't surprise me at all, but I want to say 2-1 to be optimistic, but it wouldn't surprise me at all at the moment the way we're playing. If that continues after what we've seen in the international break, that result does come about, but hopefully the players will be on form.
Jace, you're going to follow suit. Two Spurs winning. I know it's the away games that bother you, but yeah, but it is Watford at home this weekend. You expecting much of the same?
I think we'll see a confident first 70 minutes and playing some decent football and getting behind it and everything looking right. And then we'll concede from a set piece, and then it will be squeaky bum time for 15 minutes where all the confidence evaporates from the team.
And what's your score prediction?
2-1.
2-1. It is a resounding Tottenham win on the weekend.
Sure. It will be a tight game.
Well, this has been the last word on Spurs. They're predicting the Spurs win. I predicted nothing less, of course. Well, next week, either way, whatever the result, we will be here every Thursday, 7 to 9 on Love Sport Radio to discuss the game, and the Champions League is back. We will be talking all about it. As always, tonight it's been Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen and Jason McGovern for the last word on Spurs right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.